Scarpins Audio. Miles from nowhere, guess I'll take my time. Oh yeah.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of View from the Cheap Seats, and today I'm so excited because we have the phenomenal positive energy that is Matt Eisman, host of American Ninja Warrior and Ninja Juniors. Just an amazing story. The guy left medical school to enter
going
the
to
career
comedy.
Of comedy. It's something that we ourselves can relate to, having gotten into law school but not going. But he was actually a doctor. I mean, this is insane. Lifelong Denver fan, Broncos and Rockies.
Nuggets, the whole thing.
Colorado Rockies hockey team before they left.
It is fun to get into... to see someone who has such deep ties to another
city,
town,
yeah,
and their sports.
And also a city like Denver that we love so much. So we get into all of it, and then some crazy quick hits, Evander Kane and the
madness of
COVID
his
protocols,
COVID
of his
protocol
thing.
Breaches. And
so much fun. And then we in Patreon, if you want to join our Patreon, you can hear us talk about Patrick Mahomes' idiot brother with him. It is so much fun. But first... we jump into our top take of the day, which is really
Washington State University's head coach.
The biggest story this week, and three of his other coaches.
So
I believe,
four in total got canned for refusing to take the vaccine.
Right. In my opinion, the dumbest hill in the world to die upon. Right.
It is so dumb, and it's so selfish when you think about it. And this is kind of how if you think about it, the way that the Sandusky thing.
Well, it allows I'm above the rules.
I don't have to operate under the rules that the rest of society operates because I'm the head coach. And now the guy's suing Washington
State. You knew that was going to happen.
You knew the lawsuit was coming.
And I think that's going to get thrown out because there was a vaccine mandate that went all the way up to the Supreme Court in the state of Washington that got thrown out. So I don't think he's going to win this case.
So he'll spend a lot of money on legal fees and also leave the university and leave all these students. Think about the student-athletes, okay?
Yep.
Think about the athletes.
The guys he recruited.
Who he recruited. The athletes, and not that Washington State is great. I mean, Mike Leach was...
they beat Stanford, and Stanford this year beat USC. Stanford beat Oregon. I mean, they beat a good Stanford team just this past week.
They did, but I'm going to tell you, they're not vying for the Pac-12.
They're middle of the Pac-12.
But when Mike Leach was there, they were really good, and they had that crazy offense that
Gardner Minshew.
So this is a university that has had some winning before,
yeah.
And there are kids who came to this university to play for this coach who he sat in their living rooms with the parents and said, I'm going to take care of your kid.
I am going to
keep your kid safe. That's what coaches say.
And healthy. That's what parents just want to know. Are you going to keep my kid healthy? So I hope he went to every parent of the kids that were there under his jurisdiction in that team and said, you know what? I care more about my own stupid beliefs than I do about keeping your kid. Like, if you're the coach of a team, I'm sure coaches all the time have to do things that they themselves would not like to do in order to do what's best for their kids. I'm sure those decisions happen every... if we talk to Harbaugh, Harbaugh would tell us, you have to make decisions on a daily basis that maybe you yourself don't want to do, but it's better for the kids.
So what if it was drinking? Let's not make it the vaccine situation. Let's say this. Let's say you're the kind of guy who doesn't want anyone to tell him how many drinks he should have.
That's right.
And he's like, I'm going to get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go out in public,
yeah,
and just have a good old time and go dancing and get drunk. Well, you can't tell me what to do. It's my freedom as an American to go out and get drunk and just go crazy at a bar. Well,
maybe start a fight.
Maybe
harass
grope on some
women. Whatever. It's my life.
It's my body.
I can do whatever I want to do.
Technically, he's right.
Yeah.
University can't tell you you can't go out and get drunk. But you are a role model. You are you're a sort of representative of the university and
you're representative
school
of this team.
And
so
the
there
team
are conduct things in your contract as well.
Consequences to your behavior. Why are we suddenly equalizing things that are unequal?
Right.
Why are we suddenly saying these are false equivalencies? And why are we suddenly saying let's put a higher premium on all freedoms as it is, as opposed to let's put it in a vacuum, which is what this guy's doing.
Right. So you chose to be a football coach and make $3 million a year, which is, by the way, I know the majority of Americans would love to make that salary,
yeah,
and would give up a lot of things.
Would love to make that salary for a media, to coach a mediocre team.
That's right.
To not
to do an okay job.
Yeah. If you got paid $3 million a year to be average, to just be average.
To win as many times as you lose.
That's right.
If you got that opportunity, I know the majority of Americans, and I'm saying 99% of people would do that. And in order to do that, if they said you have to do a few things that maybe you
gotta wear a
do.
Suit to work.
Yeah.
You'd be like, okay,
okay.
$3 million, I'll
do
that.
That.
You gotta get these vaccinations in order to be around our people.
You would do it.
Okay.
You would do it.
And you have to do it.
So the fact that you're making a stink about this, you deserve to get fired. You deserve to lose your job.
And I hope you lose so much money in a lawsuit that fails. That's my sincerest hope for you.
So you didn't take care of your kids, the kids that you coached. You did not take care of the university. You left them high and dry by leaving in the middle of the season. You not only you left, you have three other coaches underneath you that are leaving. Do you know how difficult that's going to be for a team that doesn't have coach? Michigan had a safeties coach last year that for whatever reason who didn't show up, and the safeties room was in disarray. He didn't show up. So now these four coaches are going to be completely gone. You're leaving this team and the fan base and the university high
and dry.
All the people,
the boosters, all the people who've put money into this organization and their hopes and dreams.
And again, and you don't care about it because it's only about you. And when we talk about teams and we talk about sports, you're the coach of a team. And it is about the team. It's not about you. It's not about putting your individual stuff above the team. And sometimes you have to sacrifice. In football, you have to do it a lot. Sacrifice for the team. And if you yourself aren't willing to do that, then you know what? You shouldn't be the coach. You should never get hired again.
You're the most embarrassing thing to come out of Washington State since Ryan Leaf. More embarrassing.
I think Ryan Leaf's trying to put his life back together.
As opposed to him, yes. He's trying to put his life.
And I'll
back
bet
together.
You this, Ryan Leaf probably got the vaccine.
I bet he did.
There you go. That is the top take. When we come back, Matt Eisman, I'm so excited to talk to him. And then later on the show, Dennis Rodman, the worm can or confirm or deny whether or not he's going to be in a movie with Charlie Sheen. We'll talk about that later on View from the Cheap Seats. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. We're so psyched to have this guy on, a fan of his comedy, and fan of his golf swing. I mean, just awesome golf swing. Matt, welcome to the show.
Matt Eisman, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. Randy, I got to ask, has your shoulder healed up from the adventures during the Comedy Gives Back golf tournament?
You got into it with Bert Kreischer, right?
So I finished, we were in like...
Which, by the way, getting into it with Bert Kreischer...
Never good.
Never ends well.
Never a good idea.
No, injuries coming.
He drags you down into the morass.
And he cares less about what's going to happen to him than you care about what's going to happen to you.
I'm like, he was barefoot on the... And he couldn't play because he injured his arm in like the stupid
doing stunts for his own movie. Because of course he's not going to have a stuntman. Because what stuntman would have that build to
I'm
begin
like,
with?
Dude,
no, there is no stunt. Like someone wearing a pregnant. Let's see. Like,
so
okay,
I love him so much, and that's the lure of Bert Kreischer is that
he lures you in with the fun.
He's so fun, and
a gamble. It was a bet too.
So we finish up because it was a shotgun start at this Comedy Gives Back. Amazing golf tournament. So many great comedy people. So many great comedians and people surrounding the business.
Good cause to raise money for comics who have lost their income because of COVID and whatnot.
Yeah. So we go out and we start on hole five. So we finish on hole five and then you got to just start driving back. And I'm with these four older guys. They were so nice, but like.
No fun. You don't have to say it. It was not the most fun.
It was like hanging with Loudmouth, the people who do the Loudmouth clubs, which is where you were.
I was in Bert's fivesome.
You were in Bert's fivesome.
Yeah.
So these guys were great and I had my own card and they like took off. And then I'm like, I see you guys there. And I'm like, oh, hey, I'm just going to hang out with these guys. I was like, maybe I'll even play this hole. And Bert said, do you want to bet that I'll throw I can make it to the hole, closest to the hole in three throws.
So, yeah, and Bert, meanwhile, Bert had played the last four holes throwing because he couldn't swing and he needed some skin in the game. And so he started throwing, he started on a par five. And I gave
throwing.
Him, he started throwing the ball on a par five and I gave him 10 strokes and he got within 10 feet of the hole in six. And it was that Mickey Mantle gene he kept talking about.
Oh, my so God. I'm like, oh, man, I played baseball. Like, I played baseball in high school. Like, I can throw a golf ball. You think you can throw a golf ball. It's a par three. It's probably 150. Okay, that's all we were away. And there's some water on the right. And so he's like, I can make it close to the hole in three throws. I'm like, I bet I can get it closer to you in two throws.
Yeah.
And that's the moment that I realized I didn't know what the hell I was doing, because all of you guys were like, what?
That's insane. I will say your first throw, though, I played baseball in college, and I watched, and you did have good technique, but you were way too high, and you left yourself a hell of a throw.
No,
on the
I threw it
one.
Like down. Remember, I had a great crow hop. Yeah. I did everything like I was getting.
You were
for the
one outfield. Hopping from the hole to the first baseman,
and I threw it straight down, and I didn't even make the women's tee. Okay,
yeah.
So then I pick it up again, and I throw it right into the sand trap. I threw it right into the sand. So
and
that
you got to get up and down. Now.
I got to get up, and I'm like, oh my god! So far, I'm going to do it in two strokes is completely dead.
Yeah.
So I get it. Where's he? Where's Bert?
His first throw, I think, went into the water. Didn't we give him a mulligan?
So we gave him a mulligan.
And his second one rolled up pretty close to the green.
And then he rolled up close to the green, and I'm like, I'm toast. He's like, so now we're like, let's just play who can get it closer to the hole. So he then throws it really high, and it stops before it goes down the ridge of where it needs to go. So he's still far away. I take my third one from the trap and throw it on the green, and it goes – it's closer than his, okay, from the end, which it shouldn't have been, but I'm closer than his. And then from the edge of the green, I was probably like, I don't know, 20 feet away, I rolled it, and it rolled in.
This arm putt is going to go down. It's one of Seve's.
Hand putt.
Like the one they're going to replay in black and white footage and talk about for decades
like when Tiger
to come.
Goes to the ridge and starts rolling
and
down.
Randy's pumping, fist pumping
pointing at the ball. I ran on the green like Justin Leonard in a bad shirt from the Ryder Cup. I was all over the way. It was, on a silly day, it was kind of the perfect way. But the first throw that I threw it, I'm like, oh my god! I just did damage, Baker Mayfield style damage to my labrum.
It
was just terrible. But it was really a fun moment, and I'm glad, Matt.
Which
you
is
were there.
Inevitably what happens at our age now. When you think I still got
I
it,
I can do that. We're almost 50.
Then you're going to North Beach. I just turned 50 in January.
So we're the same. I love that we're in the same thing. So Matt, you know, for those of you who know him and have seen him do a fantastic job hosting American
Ninja
Warrior.
Well, we're about to start season 14, 9 on NBC. We started.
So you've done everyone but one.
I didn't do the first season.
And then they're like, we need Matt Eisman.
And then they brought me in. Yeah.
You're as much a part of the show as
you're such a good show.
Which has been, thank you guys.
You really do. Because it's, you got to, by the way, these are sick athletes.
Crazy.
Like, incredible athletes. To me, it feels like the greatest game of parkour ever. You know what I mean?
I want them to yell parkour every time they do it.
Just like The Office. That got shared a lot on our show.
Sure.
It's been amazing watching it grow, because when I first got to it, it was a bit of a novelty, and it's based on a Japanese game show.
Of course.
And it was, you know, Japanese game shows are very over the top. And there was a squid guy and a guy with like a hang glider who would come out and compete.
Yeah.
But it's really become serious. And now these athletes train year round. We have a junior show now for kids 9 to 14. And it's crazy because these kids, like I grew up playing baseball.
Right, same.
These kids have grown up doing Ninja Warrior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're competing out there. And what's so amazing is for a lot of kids, I think, who don't either have the skill or the disposition for traditional sports.
Or team sports, right.
They found a home here. And it's really been cool watching these kids grow and seeing, because I always think the lessons of sport are the lessons of life. And
totally.
We're getting to watch these kids out on the course who, you know, some of them are on the start line and they start getting anxiety or they start crying and they're like, I don't know if I can do this. And then you see other kids come cheer them on or some of our ninja mentors. And then you see them go out there. And even if they don't hit a buzzer, even if they just
make it through a few challenges.
It's amazing just seeing the smile on their face, awesome. And you're like, wow, that's the lesson, that persevering, that facing your fears.
I didn't think I could do it, and then you wind up doing it. Yeah, it's funny because my daughter does gymnastics, and sure, she did gymnastics for a long time. Competitive.
And my son skateboards.
So there's a similarity of like pulling off the trick.
I got to pull off
failure,
this
failure,
trick.
Failure, failure, pull it
off. Yes.
All right. I got to do this. It's very individual. It's very much like, I'm against myself here as I'm trying to compete.
But same level of focus as you have when you're stepping up to the plate.
I think unlike a lot of the things, because people don't always see the failure.
Right.
And I think that there's a lot of kids are uncomfortable. and I don't want to call it failing, like not being, not nailing it
not
on the first try.
Not going to the very end, I know.
But it's one of those things of, I like now, like our show and skateboarding, a lot of these shows, if you watch Skateboarding the Olympics.
Oh, hell yeah. Greatest skateboarder in the world, just ate it.
And you see it, and how many of them were falling on these tricks. But then when they nail it, the joy they get, and it's cool. It's that discipline, and I don't have that. That's why I talk about it instead of doing
so
it.
So you, to
have you gone through a course?
I have. So the last two times I did it, I broke my foot, and then I tried again, and I broke my ankle.
No.
And now they're like,
you broke your ankle. How'd you break your ankle?
So I was on an obstacle called Crank It Up, where it's like a ratchet. You have to crank the handles
forward. Take the
bar,
and you got to basically hoist your whole body to a point where you clip it up.
Where the whole thing comes up.
Now, meanwhile, I don't even know that I got it once, but I'm up there, and I'm hanging, and I'm like, okay, I'm stuck, and everyone's watching. I'm like, I'm going to do a flip dismount. I'm going to like spin around, do a backflip off of it.
No, God.
Again, I should have had a hint that
was
I couldn't
Bert
even
Kreischer
get up.
Was Bert Kreischer there, for Christ's sake, egging you on?
Go for it.
Hey, come on. You got it, dude.
I flip sideways. My ankle hits the padding, like the mat, the sidewall, and I'm in the water. I'm like, oh, this is not good. But
you knew something was wrong the second.
And meanwhile, everyone on the show, because we've gone all night long. I've just been standing. I didn't warm up at all. And they're like, this is a bad idea.
God.
Now I'm like, they were right. It was a bad idea. But I can't let them know. So I'm in the water and everyone's like, you okay? I'm like, I'm just going to chill here a little while.
Oh.
And then I limp back to the trailer and my boss comes in and he sees me, you know, with my ankle already swelling up like a grapefruit. God, and he's like, are you okay? And I go,
No,
I'm not. And this one's on me.
Oh,
don't worry about it. It was our last night of filming.
Oh, thank God it was your last night.
We had like 2 weeks. And then it was, I didn't realize for 4 months that it was broken until I tore my hamstring on RuPaul's talk show doing the splits.
Get the hell out of here.
My body is telling me.
You've got to stop doing the thing you think you can do. Matt, you got to stop doing
it. So it's like when I would gamble, because it is a gamble with your body.
Yes.
When I'd be in Vegas and I'd be like, I'm going to play roulette. As soon as I'd be like, I'm going to put it on black, I should have said, I'm going to put it on red.
Yeah.
Because whatever I chose, it was the opposite.
Or just give your money to the casino.
Right. But you, in your case, need to be like, I'm going to do the splits on Jim. No.
You know what the worst part is now accepting that I'm just at that age where I'm in bubble wrap. And it's just, I'm a passive viewer.
I'm sorry. So RuPaul is like, honey, go do the splits.
No, he didn't even say it. So I'm coming out, and they're like, okay, when he introduces you.
Are you wearing a suit?
Walk the catwalk. So I did do Secret Celebrity Drag Race.
Amazing.
I will tell you that. But so on the road, they're like, hey, just go own the catwalk. And
sure.
I'm like,
oh,
okay.
Watch
and
me
I'm
own
going
it.
In. I'm like, I've seen the drag queens. You guys have done shows in West Hollywood with drag queens.
By the way, we went to a drag show in Salt Lake City during
Pride Week in Salt Lake City.
We were doing shows at Wise Guys, and then our friends were like, we're going to take you over to this thing.
It was the most fun thing we've ever seen.
Are there better performers, more ferocious performers?
Well, I think there's the repression of the Mormon church and the repression of Salt Lake City culture that like pushes it down, and so comes out of Pride Week
is the
like
greatest freaking
the Mario Cantone.
Jay and I were like,
this is probably the greatest thing we've ever seen. It was so fun.
People are so nice, and there are so many people who recognize us, and they were like, what are you doing here? And we're like, we're doing Comedy in Town, but we're coming to see this thing.
And they're like, oh my God, thanks for being here.
We're like, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Thanks for being, is what we said to them.
It was the greatest thing.
You got to own it. You got to walk
out
there.
You got to walk out there. And so I do a cartwheel, and then I walk to the end, and I drop down in the splits. And as soon as I go down, I just feel my left hamstring pop.
Oh my God.
But I'm a gamer.
You hear it?
I'm a gamer. Yeah. I hear it, and I'm like, I got to go on. So I pop up, and I hug Ru. I go, I'm hurt, Ru, I'm hurt. We do the interview, and so it was a torn hamstring. When I went to get PRP for that, they were imaging my leg, and they go, your ankle's broken, too. So then I do Secret Celebrity Drag Race, where now I'm a drag queen. I got to step into the world.
Incredible.
In heels,
in tucked, you know, I mean,
full
you're
outfit.
In seven layers of pantyhose in
so
an outfit.
Fun.
You can't pee for 7 hours.
No.
2 hours of makeup.
Hilarious.
But I'm out there and I'm like, okay, I once again, you got to bring it, because what an honor to be allowed into the world.
You have to bring it.
Of course.
You have to bring it. We're doing Celine
Dion.
You're
a performer.
And Ru is like, baby, don't hurt yourself.
Right.
But sure enough, I finished with like a half, but you can kind of see it at the end where I'm like, I'm down, but it looks like there's an invisible pole up my ass. And it was awful.
There's always an invisible
pole. But it was a three-way tie, so we all won.
First of all, the fact that you did all this stuff is fantastic. And that you go for it. And I mean, again, it's why we love you and why we love you on the show, is that you go for it. And that's the whole point. That's the whole point of American Ninja Warrior, in my opinion, is like people in their lives getting this opportunity to go for it and literally try the hardest stuff. You got a whole crowd of people that are cheering you on. You guys do such a good job as announcers because you're cheering them on as well. To me, it's a fascinating show. And I watch my daughter who does gymnastics. She loves the show. She loves that show and she loves The Ultimate Beastmaster. She loves both of those shows because
Sylvester Stallone. That was great.
So
by the way, was all our same crew.
Right.
Our director, our lighting, our obstacle course, everything.
You can tell that there is a relationship between those two. That was born when, you know. So anyway, but it's just a fascinating thing.
Thanks,
because
guys.
It's
been
nice.
Fun.
So you strike me though as someone who, like, if you told me you played football at Mizzou and you were
Colorado.
Yeah. You're an edge rusher and your playing days you were like 265.
You're like, oh yeah, I was on with Cordell Stewart. I was on that team. I played defensive end. I was 265. I never got in, but I had one sack against
a little slow,
Nebraska.
Like a 4.940. That's what kept me out of the league.
I kept trying to do the splits.
It was that. So that I think I always grew up playing baseball. My dad, who was a football player in college, he said,
he's
a doctor. He went to Princeton, but he was recruited by Army, Nebraska, everyone. But he wanted to be a doctor, so he kind of knew where his future was going to lie. But he's like, I'm not going to let you play football until you're in high school. So I grew up playing, you know, baseball and soccer.
Yeah.
And so then we get into football, and I fall in love with it. And I also, because our baseball games, there are parents in the stands.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about baseball.
I mean,
but at football, we had a 10,000-seat stadium. It would be filled. It was insane.
Oh my God.
And so I started to think, hey, maybe this is for me. And then
you're big enough. You're 6'3".
I'm like 6'3", but right now I weigh like 240.
I was
going to
say 235.
In high school, I weighed 190.
Wow.
And so this is all adult mass that I've put on.
Right.
So I was lean and useless. And we started going up against some guys. I remember we went up against Fairview, who had Tony Baselli.
Yeah. Oh, my
and,
God.
You know, he was, probably I think, 6'7". Yeah, he was like 250, 260 in high school.
But
and
6'7".
And so here's when I knew what a difference it was. We played in basketball, too, in high school. And I'm guarding him. And he's 4 inches taller, like 90 pounds heavier, and a whole lot
leaning
of a better athlete.
You. Leaning on you.
And at one point, he's backing me down, turns around, two-handed dunk over me, and I'm running up, and I start patting him on the back. I go, man, that was an awesome dunk. My coach pulls me. He goes, what did you? You just complimented. I'm like, coach, what
did
you want me to stop
do?
Him?
You're like, I can't.
What am I going to do? It's not going to get in
that,
his face.
You don't have that. I'm going to rip
like,
your
throat
out.
There's that famous video of that like 5'3" white kid who's trying to talk trash to Zion in high school. I don't know if you've ever seen that video.
No.
It's ridiculous. And the kid's probably a great player and like, you know, or maybe he's 5'8", whatever. And Zion just looks at him like, what are you doing, man? So you chose the right path. The right path is to tap him on the shoulder and say, I can't stop.
Yeah, I'm in the presence of greatness. But your coach is like, no, please don't do that.
Yeah, and he's still, to this day, when I see him, he's like, nice dunk. Way to go.
That's
me, though.
That's you. But you went the path to become a doctor.
I did.
And you were a doctor of what kind of medicine?
So I was doing internal medicine. Right. So I went to med school, got my MD, and then I went back to Colorado, University of Colorado, to do my residency in internal medicine. Yeah.
Beautiful.
And it is. And it's one of the top programs, and it's amazing because I did school on the East Coast in New York, where it's so intense.
Oh,
and it's just, you know, you showed up at 4 a.m. What are you sleeping in? It was awful. And in Colorado, they're like, hey, we want to get you outside and enjoying life.
Yeah.
And I was out trying to enjoy life. And then I started to realize as I was going into the hospital, I remember going in one day when I was going to be on call. Mm-hmm. And I'm driving to the hospital, and it's like 7 a.m., and I'm like, I'm going to be in the hospital for the next 36 hours. And I started getting that pit in my stomach, like you did when you were a kid on Sunday, waiting for school.
That's
coming.
Right.
And I'm like, this is not good for me or my patients. Mm-mm. And that was when I started to think, I need to figure this out. I need to get this.
How
get my
old
heart
are you
right.
at this point?
27?
That's a very mature thought for a 27.
Thought for a 27-year-old.
Well, and one of the... Like, I'm okay grinding, but it really was as you're just going into a patient's room and talking to them, realizing this is like they're putting their lives in my hand.
Yep.
And it was just that thing of when I would go home and I'd play Nintendo 64 GoldenEye or go out with my friends or go snowboarding instead of researching the latest articles, instead of reading Jim. I'm like, this is, I don't know that my heart is in this the right way.
Yep.
So then I'm like, I got to figure this out. So I decide to take a year off from my program. And program was great, but the hardest part was I had to tell my dad, who's a professor of medicine at the university.
At that university.
At that university. So like Christmas Day of 1998.
Oh my God, that's
he was
such
my
an
attending
excellent...
physician.
Oh my God.
So like, you know, he's like, the greatest Christmas gift of all time. My son, the doctor, is working
with
me.
Look what we did.
Yeah.
Look what we did together. Achieved.
And then I'm like, well, I hope you kept the receipt on this gift, Dad. Because 2 months later, I'm like, I got to take a break. I want to try something else. I'd done stand-up a handful of times in med school, and I thought, I'm going to go out to L.A. and do stand-up for a year. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, I'll grow up. I'll get this out of my system.
And then I'll come
and then
back.
And then I'll come back an adult.
Yeah, sure.
And instead, I fell in love with it.
Sure.
I just, and you guys know, I was going
we were
to like.
We were
going
to go to law school.
Westwood Bruco.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, for four other comics. But it's just when you're on stage and getting those laughs. Yeah. All those shitty shows, but it just felt like this was it.
And there's some, I mean, yes, it is a calling. So like when you know you're leaving, it's one thing if you got nothing else to do and you're not successful in anything else, you don't have anything else going on and you're just like, I guess I'll do this. But if you have something else going on and you have success, you have a life
laid out for yourself.
You're leaving something. And you leave that, then you know at its core, you're like, I can't not do this.
Yeah.
I got to give this a shot. We talk about that feeling, and we say it a lot on this show, of fandom. And it's like, you know you're a fan of a team if when they lose, it ruins your weekend.
Yeah.
If they lose and it doesn't matter, then you say to yourself,
if you can shake it off, you're like, I don't really care about this game.
Then, then it's not deep in your heart. Then it's not like, then the fandom isn't as deep as you think it is. And so, again, I think that can be applied to life. It's what you're talking about. If you're not driving to the hospital, saying to yourself, okay, I am, you know, it's not, it's exciting work. It's maybe there's some sadness to it and this and that. But if
there's
intensity, if I'm not excited to dig into this,
if you don't wake up at 3 a.m. and be like, what if I did this?
Right. Right.
Then I don't think you're doing the right thing.
And it's amazing. And I think one of the things though, that was, you know, people are like, wow, what a waste to have done that. But I think coming out to Hollywood, it helped having done that. And you guys went to Michigan?
Went to Michigan, got into law school, went to law school, said they had to have the same conversation with our parents. Not that they were lawyers, but we said, look, you know how you paid for that education for 4 years?
Right.
We're going to do a job that we could have done out of high school. And we're going to try it. But of course, we hedged every bet. We said, look, we'll go to New York. We'll get jobs during the day. We'll pay for our lives. You don't have to pay a cent.
Right.
Give us a year. We'll defer. We even said we'll defer.
Right.
Knowing...
We're not going.
Never kind of. But like, we're going to give it a shot. And if no one in your family, I'm assuming no one in your immediate family or close family was a comedian.
No.
Right.
I didn't know anyone.
There's no way to put their head around it.
My friends were like, you're not even funny. What are you doing?
Well, hilarious. That is funny. And the crazy thing is that you have turned it into a career. I mean, you've turned into...
Yes, but I think... Because I see you guys are two of the hardest working guys out here. And I think I think when you walk away from something, you come into this with a fire because you also know what you're leaving. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of the advantages coming out to Hollywood where... It's like, I got to make something happen. You're knocking on every door. You're showing up. You're doing comedy 7 days a week.
Yeah.
You're doing anything you can to make it happen, saying yes to everything. And I think also, this is a business of no. And I don't know that people understand the rejection that you deal with. And,
it's insane.
And sometimes it's not even no. It's silence. You don't even hear why.
Yeah, we're not even going to tell
you. And so your mind can fill it with the worst case scenarios. Yep. So if you don't have some identity, if you don't have some sort of grounding to be able to handle that, you just see people get chewed up by this.
And it's understandable. It's like so much of it is psychological. As you say, you drive to a hospital at like 4 a.m. to start your shift or 5 a.m, whatever. Like you have to mentally be tough enough to deal with whatever is going to come your way and the problems that are coming your way. Same thing I'll make a sports analogy of a recent major sporting event. Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
Got knocked down. Really knocked almost out.
Yeah.
Essentially. And
what defined him in that match wasn't that he just came out of the bell rang and he just beat the brakes off this dude. He got knocked down. He was losing in many ways. He stayed in it. He fought back. He kept going. He outlasted the guy, even though he wasn't in the best shape.
And then and he
sings at the end, which is, to me, the biggest F you to everybody else, because he's basically doing karaoke. He writes his own words to a song that you kind of know. And you're just like, I can't believe this. So like Deontay Wilder, who is like the most bad. If Deontay Wilder walked in here,
we'd be like, specimen.
A specimen, 6'7".
Terrifying.
Badass can hit, dude. He comes in with those crazy like masks, singer masks on. And you're like, it's all blinged out. And you're like, this guy is like a force of nature. And he got beat by Karaoke Jack over there.
Who looks like he's the after photo for gastric bypass.
That's right.
He just, like, the most
just lost 800 pounds. Didn't you?
Right.
Like, hold up your old jeans.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like that. And you, but if you want to make an analogy to this business, you say it's more about how you get up from the knockdown, because you're going to be knocked down a ton of times.
A ton.
Can you outlast it? Do you believe in your own abilities to outlast?
Can you be resourceful and move forward?
Yeah. And not let that joy get stolen from you.
I feel like that's what athletes do in certain moments. Mm-hmm. The greatest athletes of all time. You're like, well, Kobe Bryant was really good, a high-flying dude, and then he started to develop an outside shot that just could not be blocked.
Yeah.
Same with Jordan late in his career, the fadeaway. Dirk Nowitzki developed his knee in your nuts shot. And it's like, you know, you look at guys, like, I look at Aaron Rodgers and what he's doing in the league right now, and you say to yourself,
I thought this year was going to be a train wreck.
Right?
Uh-huh.
It almost started that way. The first game, you're like, oh boy,
relax.
But he's just so damn good. He's like, I'll throw off my back foot and throw a better pass than like 90% of the quarterbacks who are stepping into it.
And when he was talking trash in Chicago, you're just like, this guy.
I own you.
I own you.
I always own you. And then Brady, I don't know if you saw that, Brady came out with like on a interview saying like, that's so cool that he's a part owner in the Bears organization. It was like very
funny.
How
about this new Tom Brady since he left New England? Showing personality and having fun.
Well, as Michigan guys, we've always rooted for him. Yeah. I mean, I do think there's like a weird cult around him, but I do think that, like, you know, we want him to be the GOAT because he came from our school. I mean, that's
I don't know how you argue he isn't. He's
the GOAT in all sports. Yeah. He's really making the case to be it for everything. So we were talking a little bit before the show about Baker Mayfield. Is the NFL your love the NFL more than anything in the world.
So your Broncos till you die, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen some championships in your day.
Yeah, but I saw four losses beforehand. I remember one of the first games I really remember watching was our loss to Dallas in whatever 77.
The Orange Crush.
I love those. We kind of
Craig Morton. Randy Gradishar.
Those Sammy Winder.
My dad was such a sports fanatic. We had tickets to the Denver Broncos, Denver Nuggets, the Colorado Rockies hockey team before they left to become the Devils.
That's right.
And the Denver Bears, who were the minor league team for the Expos.
I love that your dad just brought you to all that stuff.
My brother and I would alternate between all these games. I remember, we were at the Rockies game, the hockey, cheering against Jim Craig shortly after they won the Olympic gold. Boston sucks, Craig!
Jim Craig, who's like a U.S. hero.
A U.S. hero, but at that point it didn't matter.
He was on the other team.
Yeah, Chico Resch was our guy.
I remember the Colorado.
And that was back when you could have tickets to four different franchises and not be bankrupt.
Affordable on some level.
But it was great. Denver was a great sports town to grow up in, but the Broncos have always been the king.
That town, and they still are, I think. I mean, the Nuggets are making a case and have been coming on strong, but like, you think about what Elway did, what he was able to do at the end of his career, like after all those years. Then he does it, then he comes back into the front office, and then he pulls off the impossible and gets Peyton Manning, and then gets him to do it.
That was it. When he got rid of Tim Tebow, when you're like, how do you get rid of this guy who, although he's
brought
thrown
you to the
one
playoffs.
Pass, brought us to the playoffs, beats Pittsburgh, but
it's almost like, how do you say no to Jesus?
Yeah.
How do you put Jesus on the bench?
But to bring Peyton in and then to get us to two Super Bowls and win one of them was unbelievable. So I went to Super Bowl 48 in New York against the Seahawks.
Wow.
And that was where the very first play, it's a safety snap over Peyton's head.
You're like, he's in over his head.
And
literally.
But it was literally, so we're cheering, and after that point,
we didn't get to cheer again that entire
death.
Game.
So let death me ask you this, because we've had this discussion. Randy and I, we've talked about it on the show. We recently were Cardinals fans, St. Louis. We were at the Dodgers-Cardinals game with the Chris Taylor walk-off the other day. And
in your jacket with your 12-year-old son.
Oh, yeah.
Flipping off the guy after the ground.
Yeah,
great.
I mean,
great
and but there's something in that where you're like, Randy and I are like, we're never going to a big game ever again, because to spend all that money and then watch your team lose is a heartbreak.
Yeah.
Were you able to enjoy it at all? And you can be honest.
No, we didn't enjoy the game at all, because not only are we getting our asses kicked, and even in the second half, I think Percy Harvin like returned the second half touchdown where it's like, okay, maybe we'll get new. Oh, come on. No. So we started
third quarter.
We're down by, I think, 21 and no signs of life. And we're like, now this is MetLife Stadium and there's a blizzard coming.
Yep.
So we're like, all right, let's go into town. Let's go have some fun. We'll watch the end of the game at a bar, something like that.
That's ballsy.
But it took 2 hours to leave the stadium.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, all we hear is these Seattle fans
cheering,
who are now Legion of Boom the whole time and talking trash to
us. Taunting you.
And it's like, you did. You spanked us. So then guy I go with, my best friend from growing up, he calls 2 years later
when we're
in Super Bowl 50. He's like, I got tickets. I'm working. I can't go. I just started on the new Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah.
This is like our first weekend.
Yeah.
He's like, Monday morning, we're starting at 6 a.m. He's like, just fly up. You don't have to. I'm like, we're drinking either way.
I know.
So obviously I'm watching in my room. I see him when I'm crushed. He sends a photo with his arm out over an empty space. This could have been you as it's celebrating.
That's all. But it was a nice and hilarious friend.
It was great. It was great that we won. And honestly, though, after Elway won his two, and I think it was 97-98.
Yep.
I honestly, if we don't win again, it's okay.
For that narrative, because Elway was going to become, he's going to be Dan Marino with just more opportunities
more
at it, more losses.
And
but
bad losses.
Bad losses. And he just was, you know, so talented. Like, to me, it's interesting because I look at Pat Mahomes today and I'm like, he's very Elway-esque at Elway's best, when Elway was
mobile.
Like, Mahomes, they kind of have the same body. You know, like, Mahomes isn't Lamar Jackson. You know what I mean? He isn't. I'm trying to think. He isn't Justin Herbert. He isn't Josh Allen, like a 6'6" guy that moves. He's a little bit smaller. He plays the arm angles. So if you're a defender, you're going to put your hands up in the air. He's going to throw into your armpits and make a throw, a no-look throw. He's just craftier in that way. So I feel like those two, that's a good comp in my
opinion. Well, this is what sucks being in the AFC West, is now you have Mahomes and Justin Herbert, who look like they're going to be two of the best
forever,
for at least a decade,
for a really
maybe
long
longer.
Yep.
And we can't figure out our quarterback situation. And, you know, like we were throwing up the Hail Mary hoping we were getting Aaron Rodgers.
You might get him next year.
You think he's going to Pittsburgh? I mean, like, he and Tomlin are having like a secret love affair here.
Maybe, but
Big Ben's done. They bring him in just finish it out in Pittsburgh, try to win another ring.
Maybe. I feel like he... Yeah, I could see that, but I also could see Denver. I mean, Denver's got a great defense, and it's like there is precedent before you bring in a guy who had dotted
for
so many years.
The tail end of his career, gave him one last flash.
It would be good. It would be amazing. But that, unfortunately, that's what we need, because you know, we're not going to be bad enough to get a first-round pick.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is an L.A. dude. He just is. Yeah. So it's like I think he's heading west as opposed to east, but I could be wrong. But I think both of those are great landing spots for him. And the crazy thing is, he's such a baller. It's like you realize how difficult it is to perform on such a high level in the NFL, because it's the NFL. I don't know if you've ever been, I don't know if the show has given you an opportunity to watch games like down from the field.
Not on the field,
okay.
No.
So we did a piece with the NFL Network for the Bengals. Cincinnati. And I just remember it was Cincinnati against
Seattle
a few years ago when there was that crazy, it was like maybe 6 years ago, and there was
Cincinnati won.
Cincinnati came
and they
back
were both
won.
Like 4-0 or 5-0.
It was
like
a great thing, but
season.
We watched a catch. It was a back corner end zone fade that happened right in front of us. And these dudes, first of all, are like, they're all enormous. And they can all move in the ways of like a ballerina.
Yes.
It was, we just could not believe, first of all, the energy in the stadium, and then how high of a level. We've seen college games played on and those are really cool, and obviously like some really great athletes and whatnot, but the pros are just, it's unbelievable.
Every guy would be the best player. Yeah, it's like when they say Alabama, like,
every guy's yeah. better
Jacksonville
than
Jacksonville would beat Alabama 48-0.
Yeah. Easy. Because these guys are giants and they're also insane freak athletes. Yeah. And so it's an amazing thing.
Rockies fan, of course, like the baseball team.
It has been tough. So my dad had season tickets since day one with the Rockies, and he started emailing Dick Monfort, the owner, and at one point Monfort emailed my dad and goes, "Mike, tell me how much money you've paid for your season ticket since day one. I will write you a check to go the fuck away."
Stop writing this.
Yes.
Oh my God.
We read it. There was a little more in there, and I think Monfort might have been a little tipsy with
sure.
it. But my dad made his point, and it's he just gave up his tickets because he's like, I can't watch this team struggle. I was there in 2007 when we at game four when we got swept by the Red Sox.
I mean, but you had that crazy 23-game run.
That's been the highlight. And, you know, Florida's won two or three in the time we came in together. And it's heartbreaking to see this team just not be able to string it together. But I think they suffer from what the Cubs went through, which is Coors Field may be the best place to watch a game on earth.
Okay, I believe so we have said this for years. Yeah. Wrigley Field is fun. You're going to sell tickets because it's a fun place to go.
So if we strip it all back and say it's a business, then why do they have to get good?
They don't.
They're still filling the seats.
Even when they're below 500, there's 40,000 people out there.
There's people on the roofs in Lodi. There's everybody right down the street having drinks at the bars.
That stadium is positioned so well in that
stadium. We've been in that stadium. You go to the outfield, you can throw pitches and time your pitches out in the up in the deck. Oh, yeah. It's so fun.
Oh, don't do that, Randy. Last time I did that, it was 72. I had to ice for a while.
Did you throw 71?
I think so.
71 our fastball.
That stadium made Denver.
Yeah.
Denver was a sleepy town where downtown was dead. Mm-hmm. And they took that district, that warehouse district, all the bars opened, the restaurants, and Denver has come alive. 95, I think, was when the stadium opened.
Yeah.
And Denver has transformed because of that stadium. That was when they talked about urban renewal projects. Mm-hmm. And Coors Field, I think, should be the blue ribbon.
And stadiums to me, what I loved about it is I never saw it, but you heard tale of old Ebbets Field being a place that just popped up in your neighborhood, and Wrigley Field just pops up in Wrigleyville, and there it is. So this pops up in the neighborhood. It just kind of is. That's where it is.
But it affects everything, like you said. I mean, we're going to Denver to Comedy Works, our favorite club in the world to perform at the Downtown Club, January 14th
through the 16th.
We go every year. But to understand now how all of those neighborhoods are now connected, like they've developed so much that it's all interconnected now. And the whole downtown has like revived, and it's simple. We say, put good arts or put good sports in an area, the two things that we all sort of love and live for, and watch the restaurants come, watch the coffee shops come,
You had great teams in the 90s, the Larry Walker, Dante Bichette.
Dante and Andre Scalaraga. The big cat,
and Helton and those guys. Those were really
always,
fun.
Always bridesmaids, always good enough team.
Gave you something to like. You could follow them in September. You weren't like, we're out of it. We don't care.
But it is frustrating feeling like consistently recently, this is a team that, not even September, August, you're like, okay, the season's done.
So I think you need to, you look at a team like the Rays and their management and their front office and the way they kind of run that whole thing. You need to get some of those guys and that thinking, because I believe that thinking can transform that organization.
But I think it comes to the owner. Like, what does he want to do? What does he want to pay for?
What does your dad say?
That's why he left, because he's like, these guys, they don't. I care more about this team than they do.
You
guys were Clippers fans, right?
Always.
Yeah, I was too. I was a split season ticket holder with my friends, and this was in the Sterling era. Chris, all those guys. And eventually, I was like, I can't go to these games because Sterling doesn't want to win.
Right.
So after a while,
I will say this: the moment I knew that I was a true Clippers fan is when I started to take the losses really badly, and I started really getting upset. And so I took my son to our first Clippers playoff game ever this year. It was game five or six against Phoenix, and I think for real, the Clippers went like 1-for-24 in shooting in a stretch. Like, I'm not joking.
Yeah.
1-for-24. And then they still had a chance to win the game. Like, they were playing good defense and Phoenix was kind of off. And, I think we kept the game to like 72 points
in the fourth quarter late.
Right. I remember
and we
that.
Were down 72-71 and we made it run and we came back and, you know, and Reggie Jackson was incredible and it was such a fun night. And Warren G did like
Warren
the halftime.
Warren G did like three songs.
And he was dressed like an usher at the Staples Center. But like Randy,
he looks like the guy who leads Warren G to go out and do that.
Or like he's the guy who has.
What? I did not see this coming. He's not the security guy.
He has the guy. He's like the guy who has the keys to the Cadillac that they're giving away.
Right.
And he just was. It was such a fun night. And we lost, and I was super upset, but I'm trying to hold it together for my son so I'm not, like, cursing out the team and showing a really bad thing. And so we went across in L.A. Live down there, and we got sushi at Katsuya. We just sat down, and we're like, we're going to wait till traffic clears.
We're going to drown our anger
in some expensive sushi. And we hung out there, and we're wearing Clippers gear, and Phoenix fans are giving us crap as they walk by. And my son was like, I'm so mad. I'm like, yeah, I'm mad too. And it's okay to be mad. I'm like, this is why this shows that we love the team. I'm trying to explain to him, like,
right.
The more really upset
this is actually
you are,
good. So
yeah, it just means
you care about
so
it.
So when you lose, you're super invested and you care. And I'm like, at some point, we'll be able to say this was awesome that we came and saw this. Yeah. But hopefully,
when they win and you go, remember when we weren't winning?
So
we
were bummed. And I think the Clippers are an organization that it would be amazing to see them win.
I just think the West is so. I don't know if you saw the game last night, but like that back and forth. You know, Golden State Warriors are not to be trifled with.
Yeah.
The Lakers looked great in spots. I'm like, the NBA West is going to be so much fun.
You still have the Nuggets. You still have Utah. Yeah. You still have the Clippers. You still have
Golden State.
Portland is still a factor. It's fun.
It is. It is. And thinking back in the 80s when it was Chicago and Boston and Detroit.
Yeah, it was the East.
Philly. Yeah, the East. And it's great. But yeah, I like Ballmer as an, you know, the contrast between he and Sterling. I feel like this is a guy who's going to figure out a way.
He's like in a
to win. He's not like, in it to be a
he's
mediocre.
He's like in a 10-year team building weekend. That's what he feels like he's in at all times. He's like,
I'm just doing a trust fall right now.
I need to do the upper ropes course.
Why are you sweating so much? Ballmer's crazy. All right, well, should we take a break?
Let's take a break.
We'll come back. We got quick hits. Matt Eisman's with us. Anywhere. We'll talk about where you can follow him and see him and all that stuff. On the other side of this, view from the cheap seats. Don't go anywhere. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. Before we get into quick hits, watch Ninja Junior and all of American Ninja Warrior on
Ninja Junior is really cool.
On
if you have kids, you're gonna love it so much.
It's cool and it's a great way to if you're with your kid to be watching Ninja Junior and be like, see, that kid's doing something. Maybe you should get off TikTok and
that
get
kid's
her
probably
ass.
Gonna be a lawyer or a doctor. Not a comedian. Not that one.
That kid's not on TikTok, but after being on Ninja Junior is gonna have a tremendous TikTok
get off
account.
Your ass.
So watch the show. It's great. It's on Peacock and the other ninja
Thanks,
stuff.
Boys.
Follow Matt Eisman on all social media at Matt Eisman, Eisman. For us, follow us on Twitter, on social media.
When this drops,
tonight we are in Ann Arbor, Michigan as this drops. Show tonight at the Ann Arbor Comedy Show.
You're going to the game?
Going to the game tomorrow.
Be at the game tomorrow, then two shows tomorrow night. We want to sell these shows out.
They're close.
Is Harbaugh aware of your fandom?
Oh, yeah.
Does he like say, hey, guys, you want to come down to the field?
Yes. So we will be on the field. Our friend is a regent at the school and gives us access. We may today, I don't know if it's possible. We're definitely going over to where the team is practicing and giving a chance to maybe talk to Harbaugh for a second.
We'll see.
Maybe we get to talk to the team. Who knows?
It would be amazing. So that's happening.
Got to work that speech up.
Right? Yeah, you do.
That's happening. That's happening now. And then next month we're going to be in Seattle at the Crocodile, which is I think November 18th, 19th, 20th.
Then the next month we're in Phoenix at
Tempe
Improv, the 10th through the 12th.
Then we're in Denver, as we mentioned, at the Comedy World.
January 14th.
Then we're in D.C. at the D.C. Comedy Loft in February. And then we're in
Cleveland Hilarities.
Hilarities in Cleveland.
Oh, great clubs.
Great clubs. Like, fortunately for us, we get to pick the clubs that are fantastic and that we like to go to.
One a month, and we're very excited to go out there. Go to superscholars.com, find that out.
And then hit our Patreon. We have a Patreon at Sklar Brothers on Patreon. We do new episodes of Cheap Seats.
Our own cheaper seats. It's like we're picking the footage.
Dude, I'm going to tell you right now, if you are listening to this podcast and you are not up on our Patreon, it's $5 a month. It's nothing.
We're going to do an extra quick hit with Matt here, and we do an extra one with our guest every week. We do a Patreon podcast.
pod that you get every week. Then we do new episodes of
Cheaper Seats. Someone sent us this, the most insane sport I've ever seen in my
life. It's called the Balloon World Cup,
where basically it looks like a living room where a car is parked in the middle of it.
And it's two guys having to keep a balloon up in the air.
I saw that video. My niece and I were playing that.
Okay.
That is so much fun.
So we are going to Cheap Seats, the Balloon World.
And all the announcing is in Spanish.
It sounds like they're describing like every messy goal ever. And it's just guys diving on couches. It is the most absurd sport ever. If you want to see us
join our
down.
Patreon, it's $5 a month. It's simple. All right, should we get into some
Let's
pickets?
Get into it. All right, so Lane Kiffin, not a beloved character at every place he's left, right?
Anywhere.
He doesn't seem loyal to anyone.
Could he be up for the USC job even? Or do
they bring him back? Urban Meyer's
going
to go there?
Urban Meyer is going to be
because they got to get
But what about
Urban
to LSU? People are kind of saying that as well.
Which, I don't know, that would be. I mean, the SEC doesn't really care
about
that.
Florida
State
wouldn't be bad. He's a Florida guy.
Everyone hates Lane Kiffin. And by the way, it's okay to hate Lane Kiffin. Yeah. It's okay to call
unless
him.
Unless he's your coach.
Unless he's your coach.
And he's doing a good job.
Yeah.
Doing great. Ole Miss is doing
ranked,
all right.
Yeah. They're ranked. So some guy, so he goes back to Tennessee. I don't know if you saw the end of the game. And Ole Miss is beating Tennessee with like 54 seconds left. And I think they had the ball. And people start throwing stuff, which I hate this. Come on.
You're
throwing trash at this guy.
You're not veteran stadium in the
70s. Yeah, exactly.
He's not
Santa Claus.
Icy snowballs at his ass.
So they're throwing cups. They're throwing water bottles. He got a golf ball thrown at him. So you're like, all right, he's a slimy dude. And then an even slimier dude crawls out of the cracks of the earth. This guy, Alexander Shinara, and he puts on Twitter, have you or someone you love been a victim of thrown trash? Cough, cough, at Lane Kiffin. Call me Old Miss. And he's a personal injury lawyer.
Have you been
who's trying to cash in?
Have you been hit by a flying water bottle?
Oh,
have you been hit by
what an ambulance. That could have been you guys.
It could have been
you
us.
Gone to law school.
Look, we went into comedy.
He said he got hit with a bottle filled with brown liquid, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hoping was chew spit and not something else.
Liquid sounds like the person who threw it has issues and problems.
Right, if you're pooping in a thing. But it was one of those moments where you're like, don't make us like Lane Kiffin. How bad you guys are as Tennessee fans. Tennessee fans are
I felt like was a classy place.
Right.
Fulmer was great. Peyton, they had some good teams.
They sing Rocky Top. They have a good tradition. You sit there and you go, look at how far you've fallen,
like,
Tennessee.
Lane Kiffin is a terrible dude. You can boo him, but just don't.
And who brings a golf ball to a football game unless in the back of your mind?
I'm throwing this at somebody.
Yeah.
No one's what can I throw at this guy? Oh, thank God I'm wearing my golf pants.
Yeah.
I just came off the thing and I didn't even put the golf.
All right, moving on. Evander Kane is not having a good run.
No.
I mean, he may be the second least responsible Evander in the sports world.
Vander Holyfield is like still fighting at 58. You're like, dude,
can you believe that?
Just
no.
Stop.
I mean, you looked at that. I mean, you're talking about like 9 injuries you've gotten just by trying to do the splits on a RuPaul show.
I can't believe he didn't get injured going to the ring.
Climbing
in.
CTE, everything we're seeing with you, just can't keep.
Just do Taco Bell commercials.
Evander Kane, if you don't know who he is, Evander Kane is
San Jose Sharks.
He has a 21-game suspension for messing with COVID protocols, and it's sort of coming out, even though it's not official, it's that he used a fake vaccination card. So he's lying about his vaccination. So
how do you think that's not going to get caught?
You're going to get caught.
I mean, he's, I guess, seeing how things are playing out with Kyrie Irving
and
saying, okay, my next best thing if I definitely
just
don't get vaccinated and lie about it. Which, by the way, if you do get found out, you're screwed.
Suspended without pay for 21 games, which, you know, as you start, I don't know if you saw. So Michael Costa, who's brilliant, I saw a bit of his online where do you see this bit?
Mm-mm.
Where he was talking about Kyrie is losing like $280,000 a game.
Yeah.
And he's like, here's a list of things that I would do for $280,000 for 2 hours. And he's like, I would wear a Black Lives Matter at a White Lives rather jersey. I would wear one at the other one. And like, he was so funny. It was so smart. When you put it into those terms, even just financially, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. I know, man. That's life-changing money that you're giving up for just to say I'm not going to follow the rules at work.
So how much effort also does it take to get a fake vaccination card? Probably takes some amount of effort to get a fake one.
I got to imagine you could probably download a the format on, you know, they, with the internet.
To print it and cut it and all that stuff.
Because like, when I look at mine, it was just somebody at CVS writing in, okay, Moderna, here you go. I'm like, I guess, well, who is it? The girl who went to Hawaii who misspelled Moderna, M-A-D-E-R-N-A. Yep.
See, and, you're going to get.
And you get busted. You get busted.
Yes. Moderna. His name is Evander. It's dangerously close to the word evade. That's so right. I'm sure.
You can't spell Evander. Like even Patrick Kane
was like taking a sigh of relief. He's like, I'm not the worst Kane. when they're Google Kane and like mistakes being
I'm not
made
the
in
worst
hockey.
Kane in hockey. You just see it. Like the leagues have to take this seriously.
They have to for a million reasons, yeah. Okay? So didn't he get into like a fight with his wife?
Yeah. This guy's on domestic. This guy's not a great guy. And this is another.
So I'm saying if you have priors and you're a person that like people are like, well, this guy's done some bad stuff. Maybe trying to pull the vaccination switcheroo is
although
maybe not the best
if he has these priors, maybe his judgment clearly
well,
is
no, exactly.
Great.
Exactly. He's not going to make the right call.
I'd say you guys are the most positive twosome.
And then we're like,
no, they'll embrace it. They'll turn it around going, have you not?
Terrible.
Have you not
this guy. Look at his record. Look at his record. All right. Finally, pickleball court. If you're on a pickleball court, have you played pickleball before?
I haven't, but it's all the rage.
Your
now.
Dad probably plays pickleball.
No, my sister-in-law loves tennis, and I'm not mobile, so I want to play pickleball.
Right.
She knows you her cannot, advantages, the mobility.
So the pickleball is the sport.
I love it.
It's
by
a
the
sport
way.
That Super. All of our parents play yeah. because they're like, I don't want to run on a tennis court. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so it's like, I don't want to run on a tennis court, but I don't want to be in a racquetball court.
I don't want to play ping pong.
Right. I
want
to play ping pong, and I want to. So it's kind of like. Remember the beach game Pro Kadima where it's like the hard
yeah,
ball?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's similar to that, and right? In certain ways, although it's more of like a ball that you...
So it, but it makes a louder, a different, I think kind of more annoying noise than
so it's
tennis.
Because like there was paddle ball yeah. right. with like the dead ball and
no,
the wooden...
This, but this makes like a thwap. Right. Like a thwap. Like
satisfying
a loud,
sound?
It, I yeah. think it's satisfying, yeah. but if you live close to that,
oh.
you're not happy. Oh. So people are not happy about the noise emanating from pickleball courts in the district of Saanich?
Saanich.
Saanich?
I don't know.
Saanich. We've been fielding complaints for quite some time. This some dude said. I don't know who that is.
I think he works for the parks.
He works for the council. And he said, in the Tuolumne Park courts, a place that is considered by some one of the most popular pickle court destinations
pickleball
in
court.
The capital regional district where houses are only
what state is this?
22 meters away. Is it in
meters away? I think it's
Canada.
Like Canada
potentially.
Okay.
I don't know. So most of the complaints are related to the sounds of the racket and the thing, but I don't know. Maybe it's people getting like upset about it. They're build fences now. They
so
have
now
to, like,
they
want to build like an.
But I assume there must have been courts there, like tennis courts or something, right? They probably just didn't build a pickleball court complex.
Also, if you live near a park, it's nice because you don't have neighbors
right.
or you don't have. But
right.
Also, you're going to be in a park. Like, do you not want kids to make noise? Like, I don't right. understand. So, like, you live near a
but,
park.
But what
something.
They're not realizing, this is what I'm telling them. They're in for a fight with, like, rich people who are also going to dig their heels in, who also have resources.
These are baby
right.
boomers.
It's not,
right.
like, it's not like you're like, hey, kids, you know, who are on the streets, you don't get to play basketball. We're
right.
going to shut you down with, like, scare tactics and lawyers.
There could be a Supreme Court justice
right.
out there playing
so,
pickleball.
That's right.
So now you're fighting with that guy.
You're
right.
not going to intimidate that guy.
But it's like a battle.
Oh,
it's
this
like,
is a good showdown.
It's
this
like
is,
Godzilla
this could
versus
be a good
King
cheap
Kong.
Seats episode
right?
here.
So my thing is that maybe pickleball isn't the sport at all. Pickleball is just the thing that gives way to the real sport, which is like litigation.
Litigation ball. It's
which
litigation
seems ball. To be everybody's new favorite pastime.
It is litigation ball. It's what the kids are playing. And that is Quick Hits. Matt Eisman, thank you for joining us.
Guys, thank you.
For our
Patreon
fans, we'll talk about one more thing with him, which I'm very excited about.
That's a tease.
About Patrick Mahomes' idiot brother.
There we go. Patrick Mahomes' idiot brother. We're going to get into it on our Patreon. And when we come back from the break, Dennis Rodman joins us on the podcast. Always love when the worm comes on because he can confirm, or maybe he can't.
We don't know.
We talked to Charlie Sheen 2 weeks before, and he had mentioned a movie project. Worm will confirm or deny. This is View from the Cheap Seats. Come on.
Wow, Matt Eisman. Love him so much.
Fantastic.
Love his energy. He's just, it's like you want to run through a brick wall when you're with him.
I love it.
I want to throw my shoulder out like I did with Bert Kreischer when I'm around him. Mm-hmm. So much fun. As we mentioned before, we've got Dennis Rodman. We had a great conversation with him a short while back. I want to play that for you right now, and he will tell us whether or not he is going to be doing a movie with Charlie Sheen and just fill us in on what he's doing, the Storm Drain in Redondo. Let's get into it right now.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Now, a couple weeks ago, Jay,
we had Charlie Sheen on, and he mentioned a project
at the very end with
Triple Impact
with Dennis Rodman. Now, are we going to see that? Well, we've got to ask the other person. We can get collaboration or non-collaboration on this by simply bringing the worm in, and so the worm can either confirm or deny.
We give him the opportunity.
Will
to
the
confirm.
Worm confirm? Dennis Rodman is here with us. Let's find out, Dennis.
Dennis, how are you, sir?
Hey, man.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
I love you too, man. I love you.
Thank you for that.
It's been way too long.
Yeah, it's been way too long. It's too long.
That's what I say to Luke Longley ever. I say, man, it's been way too long.
So the first
worm humor.
Worm humor. The first time you came.
I won't be here all week.
No. The first time you came to the studio, you had a lot of problems with the elevator. Today you came in and said you had problems with the elevator again.
This is a one-floor building. How do you have a problem with the elevator?
Okay, so.
I think that was a storage closet.
Yeah, no, it was a storage closet, but here's the problem, yeah. Okay? There was like an exit light near it, and I thought that was the elevator
light. Got it.
Because I just look up, I see an E, and
it's
a light.
And you saw doors, and right.
Maybe
most elevator doors don't
futuristic elevator.
Open. No, but he didn't know. Yeah. So
but they don't open.
It's like an old swing doorman building, and so you got in, and you did, and you weren't going anywhere.
A lot of the time, I'm on my Bluetooth, so I don't really pay attention to that.
Sure. You're Bluetooth. When you have two Bluetooths in your, do you call them blue teeth? If you have two in your ear, one in each ear.
Man, what I call that is a party in my head.
Okay, so we want to ask you, Charlie Sheen came on and said he's working on a sequel to Double Impact called Triple Impact
with you. You're
attached. You and Jean-Claude.
Okay. Did you know this?
Is that happening?
I'm going to say something about Charlie.
Okay.
Charlie's a little confused. Okay, Double Impact, and it is confusing. Double Impact. See, you got to know this.
That was DMX, right?
No, that was Jean-Claude and Jean-Claude.
Oh.
That was J and J, like J and R,
right?
In your case, right. Okay.
So what was the movie?
Double Team. Yes, and we actually had sponsorship. There was a whole trailer tie-in with Double Mint Gum. It was a whole twin. It was all.
But Double Team is like two dudes or two women taking on one dude.
Well, I can't get into that. There were some spinoffs, but we don't want to talk
Dave Navarro,
about that.
Carmen Electra.
Don't say the name.
I'm sorry.
Don't say that name.
Never say the name.
I will not say that name.
Does not exist.
All right. So.
So we are. But he's right.
Triple Team is what it's going to be.
Triple Team.
Triple Team.
Yes. It's actually an NBA infused. It's like a hybrid. Okay.
It's like Space Jam.
There's crime. There's kung fu. No, it's not Space Jam. Don't say that either.
That's right.
Okay.
He wasn't invited to do it, Jay.
Hold on.
Okay. Oh, no.
Okay. Let me tell you something about Space Jam. Let me tell you something about Space Jam.
Yeah.
When that movie came out, Michael Jordan invited me to the screening.
Yep.
And he said, Dennis, man, this movie is like my relationship. It's about my relationship with you, because with you, I believe I can fly.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Now, I don't. Really, you know, that's not my favorite song no more. But no. Well,
especially because it's
No. But what I'm trying to tell you is that I have emotional reaction to Space Jam until LeBron came and took a giant dump like I did in North Korean hallway.
You did?
Okay, in a hotel. That's what LeBron did. He ruined it. Double Team has nothing to do with Space Jam, Star Brothers.
So Triple Team is going to be a hybrid of NBA action, crime.
Yes, because you get Triple Team. You see, you understand? Only stop the worm, you got to have three people on me all times.
That seems fair.
Man, okay. I'm just saying I would watch Triple Team.
Bill Winnington, Bill Cartwright. And Steve Kerr, that was the triple team.
That was the triple team. Three white guys.
That was the practice.
Was not white.
Practice triple team.
Bill Cartwright was not white. Sorry.
He had a white thing in his head.
Yeah,
I was told him.
On his beard.
I said, Bill, you're like 1/100th white. So
my apologies to Bill Cartwright. My apologies. All right, Worm. I just wanted to get the confirmation and just see you in person. It makes me
It's great to see you, man. I wish you the best as you move forward. You seem healthier than normal.
I won't back up. You said it's great to be a person.
Yeah.
I've been in quarantine in Redondo.
In the storm drain.
For 3 years.
Oh, damn. 3 years. It's only, pandemic's only been a year and a half.
You've been in quarantine since before the pandemic.
I knew it was coming. Okay. Kim Jong told me. He said, man, this Chinese, they're messing around, man. Okay. They're messing around, Dennis. I'm telling you, they're doing something with some kind of Lysol germs. And I said, I trust you, Kim, but I'm going to miss you. So I never saw him for that whole time. I never seen him. So you're the first people that I've seen.
Okay. Oh, my God.
And I've only been Skyping with Charlie from the tunnel.
Yes.
And so you guys, man, I love you. I'm so happy to be here.
I love it,
happy
too.
To have you. And if Charlie and Jean-Flan.
He's really choked up. Jean-Flan, Claire, saying names.
When they fall out, it's you two. It's us three.
Dude, we'll take it. New triple team right here. You heard it, guys. That
new
is
triple
team.
The worm can confirm.
The worm can confirm that is a show. We love you guys. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Sklar Brothers. We got new episodes of Cheap Seats every month, plus extras from these great interviews that we have, plus Patreon pods every week. $5 a month. So easy. patreon.com/Sklar Brothers. Sign up for that. And then check us live. We're going to be in Seattle in November. I'm so excited at the Crocodile. And then we just added Denver. We're doing Denver, the Comedy Works, in January the 14th through the 16th. So go to supersklars.com, check out those, get tickets. Want to see you. Love you. We are out. There you go. That is the show. Matt Eisman. Want to thank the great at Chris Cox Vox. Follow him on Instagram. Just all of you guys. So excited to see you tonight in Ann Arbor. One show tonight. Two tomorrow. Hopefully these things are going to sell out. We know a lot of people that said they're coming. If these tickets go, Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase, if you are in Ann Arbor, Michigan, or in Detroit, after the game,
get on it.
Game's going to be at noon. Come on by later. Hockey game, I think, is at 4:30. So come on by after hopefully a couple of wins tomorrow night and just enjoy. And we will see you next week.
When my ballerino takes me, I just want to go. When my ballerino